We want to focus on the speaker fight in Columbus. Well, it's not a fight anymore. It's over. But it was a fight yesterday, and it took some very, very interesting turns, as some fights tend to do. Derek Marin was the speaker-elect, chosen from the Republicans back in a closed-door vote in November. He was expected to take over, and yesterday they engineered a coup, they being other Republicans. And they got a whole bunch of Democrats to join them and voted instead for Jason Stevens to be the new Speaker of the Ohio House of Representatives. Joining us now is one of those who voted for Stevens and, according to reporting, was instrumental in calling other Republican representatives and asking them to flip their votes from Marin to Stevens. He is Al Catrona, Republican representative from Canfield. Representative Catrona, thank you for making the time this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, thank you for having me, Bob.
Thank you for coming on. This is a pretty controversial situation we have in front of us, and so I respect anybody who is on the side that you are on being willing to answer the questions about why you did what you did. So let's start there. Why is it that you decided, and if, first of all, let me clarify or get clarification from you. Ohio Press Network reports say that you were among those calling other Republicans, asking them to flip their support from Marin to Jason Stevens. So part A is that true? And part B, why? Why did you turn on Marin after the Republican 67 strong majority back in November voted for Marin to be the guy?
So to answer your question, at first, yes, I was making calls. I was happy to make the phone calls. I thought it was the best thing for our institution. I thought it was the best thing for Ohio, and definitely was the best thing for our district. And so why all this ensued and why did this occur? I mean, look, at the end of the day, the gentleman's agreement is not just one-sided. It is saying that we will come out in acclamation, and everybody was on board to do that. But part of that gentleman's agreement is also that you're not going to tar and feather the folks who did not support you or did not vote for you. You're not going to ostracize them. You're not going to make them feel like they're not part of the team. Because at the end of the day, the ability to have 67 members is only helpful if we're all in sync together, right? And, you know, half the caucus was getting thrown to the curb. And
What are we talking about here when you say feeling ostracized or kicked to the curb? What are we talking
sure.
about?
Sure. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you know, you got to be able to get those conversations going. This the quote unquote speaker elect is in a position, and they're required. I mean, leadership is not just a title, it's how you act. Mm-hmm. And this was a trial run. And, you know, he had has an obligation of being the speaker-elect, as being somebody who's going to be, you know, one of the most powerful people here in the state of Ohio, has an obligation to call members, has an obligation to talk with them, to let them know that they are not going to be shunned. And that has been the complete opposite. We haven't gotten a call from him. We haven't spoken to him. He hasn't reached out. I mean, listen, you had half the caucus that wanted to go a different direction.
According to the original vote in November, it wasn't half the caucus. He won comfortably in terms of being, you know, selected as the speaker elect. So why do you say half the caucus was against
him? He won by three votes. Out of our 60, at the time it was actually 68, because we allowed somebody who had technically won. I think Beach is his name, Ronald Beach. He had won, but then ultimately lost to Brown, Representative Brown, as they did a recount. But there were 68 people there at the time. One of the members was also not there at the time of the vote, and so, you know, he won. The breakdown was like a three or four vote swing. So, I mean, that's about half the caucus. And when
But Representative Catrona, let's look at the breakdown now. 45 Republicans voted for him to be the speaker. 21 of you guys voted for Jason Stevens. Who's got support of the majority of the caucus here? You won. You know, here's a real question. You know, if a tree falls in the woods and no one is there to hear it, does it make a sound? I would ask you, if a Republican speaker is chosen by majority Democrats, is he in fact a Republican speaker?
Well, to answer your question on that, I mean, listen, Jason Stevens is the only was and is the only speaker candidate that was endorsed by CPAC. I mean, that's a conservative group. You know, we're not talking about some type of a rhino here. We're talking about somebody who has.
We're talking about exactly that, Representative Catrona. We're talking about somebody that 32 Democrats out of 33 in their caucus said we like that guy. You literally chose somebody that more Democrats liked than Republicans liked. You have a 67-33 majority. 45 of your 67 went with a conservative. 21 went with somebody that 32 Democrats liked better. What does that tell Red State Ohio? You voted for a supermajority of Republicans, and the Republicans gave that away, literally, in terms of the speakership of the House, to Democrats.
Well, I think that would be reading into way too much. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, we have a situation here where we have a person who is conservative. His voting record is conservative. Jason Stevens is conservative. All right. That's first and foremost. As far as the caucus vote, you know, there was a lot of, tactics that were utilized by the other side, a lot of lies that were spread. Towards closer to the vote. I mean, listen, we were waking up that day with basically 30 votes coming into it. So it wasn't until some of the different tactics that were utilized. But putting that stuff aside, I mean, look, at the end of the day, what we care about is a conservative agenda. Jason Stevens is going to be the Mack truck of conservatism.
Representative Catrona, with all due respect, and I really mean that because I respect you for coming on. I'm giving you hard questions,
sure.
And I appreciate you doing
it.
So please don't take this with disrespect. But come on. Conservative agenda is going to be advanced by a leader who was chosen by majority Democrats. 32 Democrats, just 21 Republicans voted for Jason Stevens. And you want us to think he's the conservative Mack truck? How is he the conservative Mack truck, and Democrats are cool with electing a strong conservative to enact to pass conservative legislation and establish conservative policy in a state that they want to be blue?
I mean, listen, I would tell you this. First of all, I get the question, right? And I, first of all, I respect you as well, Bob. And I always love the tough questions. It always makes it fun.
Thank you. But I would
tell you this. Look. You know, Derek Merritt was also the same person who voted down legislation that had the Safe Women's Sports Act in there recently during lame duck. All right. And that also talked about discrimination on vaccines. I mean, so, you know, we could sit there and say, well, he's not going to do this and he's going to do that. At the end of the day, I think we would have had chaos. That's what ultimately would have ensued. So, you know, as far as the D's coming on board, I believe that the Democrats just looked at it. They have to vote, first of all. Just so everybody, all the listeners are aware, the Democrats, a lot of people don't recognize this, the Democrats are required to vote. So they had two options. They could vote for Jason or they could vote for Derek. And, you know, they frankly just felt like,
Thank you. You just hit it out of the park for me. The Democrats had a choice between Derek Maron and Jason Stevens. They chose Jason Stevens. That means Stevens is going to be much more amenable to what they want to do. Is this not reminiscent to you, Representative Catrona, of Larry Householder from 4 years ago, where he literally engineered a deal with Democrats in order to get Democrats to vote for him as the quote-unquote Republican speaker? Deals were made then, and it begs the question, can you tell me what deals have been made with the Democrats to get them to support the guy you wanted over Derek Merritt?
I wasn't quite finished with my thought process on that. To double back, I'll get back to that point there.
All right.
So what I was getting at is that it's not that the Democrats are looking at Jason and saying we love Jason. They're looking at it and saying, you know, we have seen Derek, and it has nothing to do with where he falls on things as far as legislation. It is the fact that, you know, things would have been chaotic in an unfunctional house. So there's a difference between saying, hey, this person or that person is not going to be pushing some type of a conservative agenda. At the end of the day, they had to make a vote. And it wasn't that they felt like he would be more amenable to them. Frankly, I think they just looked at it and said, we are going to have chaos in the house with Derek. I mean, we've seen this with lame duck. And so that's to answer your ultimate question there, which I think was, you know, what deal?
Yeah, what were the Democrats promised? They weren't doing this. They weren't supporting Jason Stevens at the behest of you and a bunch of other Republicans, or at least 21 of you. They weren't doing this because it's going to benefit Republicans. They're doing this because they're getting something for it. What are they getting? What deals were cut?
Well, see, that's the thing. There has been and there was not any deal. And so I know everybody kind of looked at that as suspect, like, well, why would they? I mean, I think, but the truth is, there was no deal.
Why would Democrats agree to this then? Why would they cast their votes unanimously? Well, 32 out of 33 for Jason Stevens instead of Derek Marin, if they didn't feel like either A, they were getting something for it in terms of agreements and deals on perhaps legislation to come, or B, just the fact that this guy is more like us. He's a rhino. He's a Republican who's going to make decisions like a Democrat, because Derek Marin has a very strong reputation among conservatives in our state. I don't care about CPAC. I can tell you what conservative organizations all throughout the state were thrilled. We're talking about medical freedom groups. We're talking about pro-life groups. We're talking about school choice groups. We're talking about all of these groups who said Derek Marin, finally a conservative, is going to lead the House. Democrats didn't choose Jason Stevens for no reason. Go ahead.
Yeah, and real quick, I mean, you bring up all these things about, like, medical freedom and all this. Look at the leadership team. And listen, I'm not trying to poke at anything. I mean, a lot of those folks over there, those are my colleagues, you know, good friends with them. But, you know, you have people that were on there that were opposing a lot of those things that you're talking about. So, you know, I don't know if necessarily, you know, that's the most conservative portion of it. And so with that being said, at the end of the day, I believe we're going to have a conservative agenda. And I think you're going to ask me back onto your show 3 months from now, 2 months from now, 6 months from now, and you're going to say, Petrona, I'm surprised. I was concerned at first that there was not going to be this conservative agenda. But you're going to ask me back on here. And you're going to say, you're right. You guys have moved this bill. You moved that bill. I believe that, you know, and I can't speak for the speaker. And I think that, frankly, it's the will of the caucus. And then, you know, that a lot of people need to recognize that's a big part of it. But I think that once we sit down and we go over our priorities, I think you're going to see a lot of things like Save Women's Sports. I think you're going to see a lot of things that deal with, you know, those conservative values that both you and I have. And so, you know, at the end of the day, there was no deal that was cut. It comes down to the fact that, you know, do you want a functional House or not?
And functional meaning what? Functional meaning what? If you can define that for me, what does functional mean, and why wouldn't functional be there if Derek Marin was the speaker as he was speaker-elect?
Well, first of all, you have the you know, stability factor. You know, it's, you know, usually, as they say, you know, 6 months in, 7 months in, you end up becoming kind of like a lame duck speaker. That's just reality. And, you know, it just is what it is. And so, you know, this at least would provide a little bit of stability, and that would have given an opportunity for
stability. How? I mean, it's the same thing as saying functionality. Okay, define stability then. You define functionality with stability. So define stability in this term.
If you have stability, you would have stability, because if you have a speaker for 2 years, that means the speaker's race starts the day he grabs the gavel. Let's be honest here, and that creates infighting. That's always a problem. That's always an issue. It gets chaotic. We start doing kind of, you know, weird stuff on the floor, and it's not conducive to the institution. With that being said, you have an opportunity for a 6-year speaker, which gives you the stability of having and knowing in the process and being able to say, this is where we're at, having that working relationship. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, you know, my job, I have really one job, and that's to take care of my district. You know, that's it. I mean, my job is to take care of the district and look out after the state of Ohio. I believed it then. I believe it now. And I think that, you know, time will show that, in fact, this is the case by going with Jason Stevens as Speaker of the House. We will have the stability. He will be conservative. He will keep the order. And frankly, as far as I'm concerned, you know, everybody will be treated fairly as Republicans as we walk forward, knowing that our districts, you know, are going to have a fair shake when we're going forward. We didn't feel that way when half the caucus was feeling ostracized by Marin. not getting called, not being reached out. I mean, listen, you have members out there.
You keep saying it, Al, Representative Catrona. And by the way, to your previous point, I hope you are back on in 3 months, and I hope I'm saying you were right and I was wrong. I would like nothing better than for things to work out for Ohioans. But you keep saying half the caucus, and you keep talking like unity is important. Is unity important for among the 67-member Republican supermajority? Is unity important?
Absolutely. Okay. Unity is key here.
Hold on. Here's my question. Mm-hmm. If unity is key, how are you getting unity from 45 out of 67 supporting Marin, only 22 supporting your new speaker? How you get unity out of that, Representative Catrona? You're talking like it would be chaos if Marin was in charge because half the caucus, in your language, didn't get phone calls from him and felt ostracized. Well, how do you think 45 Marin voters are going to feel out of 67 when a coup was just engineered with support of 32 out of 33 House Democrats? Where's unity coming from?
Well, unity started the day that he took the gavel, because he's already sat down with these members. He's already starting that process. The healing is already occurring, and we already have members who have said, "Hey, glad you're the speaker. Let's move forward, and let's rock and roll." So you can't look at the vote and say, "Well, those people are going to be against Jason Stevens then, and it's going to be terrible." You have people who maybe made the vote that they made because of outside pressure, which there was, but are thanking that this went forward. You have people who said, listen, Derek was my guy, but you know what, Jason, I think you're going to do a stellar job. I would have been fine with either of you guys. We've already had those conversations with members. This healing process will continue to occur, and it will strengthen us as a state. Listen, the last thing that we wanted is to have people, and there's a difference between how somebody votes and how somebody feels. A lot of people feel that they are ready to move forward with Jason, that they feel that they're getting their fair shake, that nobody's being tarred and feathered. And I think that that's his approach. And to me, that's what builds unity. You can't look at the scoreboard and say they voted this way, therefore they are totally against him, and they will not support any type of...
Well, that's only one half of the equation, though, Representative Al Catrona. The other half of the equation is 32 out of 33 Democrats saying, yeah, we're in on this Republican, not the other Republican. They're not doing this out of the kindness of their hearts. They're not doing this because they suddenly feel like, boy, this is a really good for conservatism. This is because it's going to benefit state Ohio Democrats and Ohio Democrat policies. That's their hope, anyway. Ohio Democratic-led legislation. This is what their hope is. There's a reason they all went. Let me put it to you in the final question for you. Put it to you in terms. Let's go to the federal, the national house. Kevin McCarthy yesterday, of course, couldn't get the votes, got 202 instead of 218, and so on and so forth. I don't know how you feel about Kevin McCarthy, but let me ask you this. If 99% of House Democrats suddenly voted for Kevin McCarthy, would you still want Kevin McCarthy to be the speaker? If 99%, because that's what I'm rounding here, with 32 out of 33 Democrats in the Ohio House going for Stevens, if 99% of the House Democrats on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. said, we're going to cast our vote for the Republican Kevin McCarthy, do you think that would be a good thing?
On the federal level, I mean, I know it's similar, but at times it's like comparing apples to oranges with this. I mean, we have term limits, right? They don't, so they have the ability. It's really two different things. We just talked about.
They're both legislatures. Right? They're both legislatures in both circumstances. I'm asking if the minority party, if the minority party suddenly came out en masse for one candidate in the majority party. Do you think that the Republican Party in this case should be happy with Kevin McCarthy if 99% of Democrats said, yeah, that's our guy too?
Well, let me ask you this. What about if that guy was Jim Jordan?
Can you imagine one Democrat, much less all of the Democrats voting for a Jim Jordan? The point being,
no,
it is a hypothetical conversation, Representative. But the reason why mine is more legitimate than yours is because it just happened here. And Jason Stevens is no Jim Jordan, and Kevin McCarthy on the federal side is no Jim Jordan. He is considered a moderate. It's why conservatives in the House are putting up this resistance. They want Jim Jordan as opposed to a Kevin McCarthy. The American left, the Democrat House members would be, if anything, would be interested in a real squishy moderate like Kevin McCarthy as opposed to a hardcore conservative like Jim Jordan. That's why your hypothetical in response to mine just doesn't match up.
But I mean, play it out though, like just real, very quickly. I mean, Jim Jordan, right, gets the support of the Democrats. Would we still be having this conversation? Or would you be saying that Jim Jordan cut a deal with the Democrats?
I would absolutely be interviewing Jim Jordan, which I do once a week, and asking, what did you promise them, or what did they promise the Democrats, your people, in order for them to support you? Absolutely. Because you know what? That's what would have to happen. In order for them to support somebody like Jordan, that's what would have to happen. And Jordan, of course, would never have made such a deal. That's why such a thing is just not.
Look, at the end of the day, as far as it is a little bit different because term limits do play a massive factor. I definitely get what you're saying, though. Getting back to reality, I mean, there's term limits. So we talked about the stability factor. I mean, listen, the Democrats, they still want stability as well. They want stability for their staff. They want stability for these things. I mean, you know what? These are not substantive things that they are, like, you know, getting out of this. They are getting things that are, you know, longevity of a speaker. It makes things run smoother for the House. We get an opportunity to actually start on time, for example, which is something we've struggled to do.
Representative Catrona, what I wish is for Democrats to feel unstable. They have a 33-member hold on the State House. You have a super majority. I don't want them to feel stable. I want them to feel
and
like we're at the mercy, of this 67-strong red state super majority united behind the speaker, and instead they've got a 45-seat opposition to the speaker in that supermajority. Think about what that means for the Democrats.
This is the thing. That stability still applies to us as Republicans and conservatives. To keep that 67, we got to have stability, man. This stuff is – that's what tears up – and honestly, frankly, loses those seats. So it's not just like, you know – They are fearful in general because of our numbers. And you know what? At the end of the day, as our policies come down the line and as our agenda is kind of, you know, out in the open, we're going to very quickly see, you know, where the cookies crumble. I mean, and I think that you're going to be sitting here saying, you know what? Jason Stevens has got a pretty good agenda. Like, and this is the thing, too.
I really hope you're right. I do. And listen, I'm out of time here. I'm out of time. It's the top of the hour now. I do not like what you and your 21 other colleagues did here, but I absolutely respect you for coming on and answering critical questions. They're very, very important, and I hope we can keep that that dialogue going as we see where this new leadership takes us, okay?
Absolutely. All right. Hey, thanks, Bob.
Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.